Sunday Baroque Conversations is made possible by the Friends of Sunday Baroque and is produced at WSHU Public Radio in Fairfield, Connecticut. I'm Suzanne Bona. Thanks for listening. Don't miss an episode of Sunday Baroque Conversations. Subscribe on Apple, Google, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us a review. If you want to find out where you can listen to our weekly show, visit our website, sundaybaroque.org, for a station list and our 24/7 stream. Again, that's sundaybaroque.org. Pianist Dr. Rochelle Sennett is a gifted instrumentalist, a sought-after teacher, and a respected music scholar. Her recital programs and recordings showcase performances of works by Johann Sebastian Bach, as well as Black composers such as H. Leslie Adams, Geoffrey Mumford, Florence Price, and George Walker. Dr. Sennett earned her degrees from San Francisco Conservatory of Music, the University of Michigan, Texas Christian University, and the University of Illinois. The prize-winning musician is the inaugural Associate Dean for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion for the College of Fine and Applied Arts at University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, where she also serves as Associate Professor of Piano in the School of Music. Dr. Rochelle Sennett joins me on Zoom to talk about her life in music. Hello.
Hello.
What a pleasure to speak with you. I'm a big fan.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I always like to find out from musicians with the kind of accomplishments and credentials that you have, like, what was your start in music? You know, did you come from a musical family? Was piano your first instrument? What were your beginnings in music?
Well, it was by chance. I just happened to see a pianist on TV. My father was a musician. In high school band. He was a tuba player. So he always had a love of music. But I saw a pianist on TV when I was young, and I begged my parents to take piano. They thought I would quit kids, you know, because kids have lots of interest. But I was really persistent, and they, and so that's how it got started. I thought it looked cool on TV somewhere. I don't remember who it was, but that's how I got started.
Wow. Wow. And that's a big commitment too, to have to buy a piano and, you know, follow through like that.
Yeah. Right. I actually found out years later that they rented a piano first for 6 months. At the time, you could rent a piano for 6 months and then purchase. And so they told me later that's what they did.
Oh, so you must have really demonstrated that a commitment early on, you know, where you were not the kid that had to get badgered to practice and they sort of saw you catch fire for this.
I was the kid who loved to practice, and it became even more of a commitment once I got to, say, middle school. But I always knew that that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a concert pianist. I saw, just from what I saw on TV, that's what I always wanted to do. And I never backed down from that, despite the hardships and everything that I've gone through. And I remained committed to it, as a child.
That was actually my next question, was how and when that you knew the music is your life's work. So that's, you're very young. But how old do you think you were? Do you remember when you first started?
I was probably 6 or 7. But I begged for a while before they finally relented.
Wow. So I have to ask you just mentioned some of the, you know, trials and tribulations and hardships. Do you mind talking a little bit about what those have been as a performer?
Well, I became... as I got to exploring piano and taking lessons, I became very aware that I loved music, and I also found myself realizing that there were people in the spaces that didn't necessarily look like me when it comes to representation, and that became even more obvious once I got to high school. Mm-hmm. You have people that sometimes people in trusted positions that may tell you what you can and cannot do because you come from a certain family or look a certain way. Unfortunately, that in certain ways, many ways, that was my experience. Mm-hmm. Not all the time, but that was that happened quite often. I'm sorry to say it still does from time to time. That's my experience. Mm-hmm. But I always remind myself why I do it. And I wanted to be a musician, and but it was unfortunate to have to experience some of those things, even as a child.
Sure.
one experience of, I'll leave out names, but I remember a trusted person in leadership when I was a child. I was 15 at the time. Mm-hmm. I asked for a letter of recommendation from a mentor, and they said they would share it with me. And then once it was shared with me, the person wrote, specified my race in not a nice way, kind of a dated term to refer to someone of African descent, and that I came from a family that I had two parents, and that's a rarity. That definitely changed me in a lot of ways. And just imagine experiencing something like that as a 15-year-old.
Wow. Do you recall some of your important teachers and mentors who were supportive and really pushed you along in a way that was positive and affirming, and also I'm curious to know how maybe how your experience as a student has influenced the teacher you've become.
Oh my goodness, yes. So my first piano teacher was fantastic, and her name was Hazel Rubin. She's since passed, but I started playing piano. We also at the same church. So she was playing organ, and then around age 10, I started playing along with her. She'd play organ and I'd play piano, so we played together. And so that was always very special relationship. And she told me after about a few years that I can no longer teach you. Mm-hmm. Here's a recommendation. And I am grateful to her for doing that. We remained in touch until she passed. But yeah, very strong Black woman, mm-hmm. that really was devoted to her life's work, teaching and being a church leader. And I never forgot that. And I learned from my teachers, mentors, great experiences, not so great experiences on what to do as a teacher myself and what not to do. And mm-hmm. so, yes, certainly. Mm-hmm.
So you're the inaugural Associate Dean for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion for the College of Fine and Applied Arts at your university. What does that job entail? I mean, it sounds like you have some very deeply personal and not so great experiences and also some good experiences to guide you in that. How is it going? What does the job entail?
You know, it's really cool, I have to say. So I started officially in January 2021. And what interests me, because my experience, I wanted to be able to talk to more than just musicians. Mm-hmm. I've found also that people that are devoted to diversity, equity, inclusion, access work are so committed, and just, I wanted to also be in those spaces too. And it was humbling. And so it was more, for me, it was more than just sitting down playing the piano. While that's important to me too, I also want, how does this connect, in terms of reaching wider audiences and talking about these very important issues. Mm-hmm. And so that's what got me into this. And some of the things that it involves, it's fine and applied arts. So there's music, there's theater, dance, art and design, architecture, landscape architecture, urban planning. Then you have Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, Japan House, Krannert Art Museum, just to name a few. Mm-hmm. So it involves working with the unit leaders, faculty, staff, students on initiatives related to diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice. Wow.
Can you give maybe an example or two of some of the things that have come out of this?
Yes, recently. When I first started, we conceived of, even before I officially started, of a symposium that would get bring faculty, staff, students together, because we're all so separated. We're in different buildings, so we hardly see each other. Even in the same building where everyone's so busy doing their own thing, people don't see each other. So I thought it'd be great to have, let's just have a day where we are having conversations, learning about what people are doing, not just patting each other on the back. Oh, I do this. Look what I've done. It's more, we thought it was overdue for people to be recognized for the work that has already been done in the units when it comes to DEIA related issues. And it was, so that was what kind of the idea came from. And so as a result, it was going to be a 2-day event, but because of Omicron last spring, as you remember, we broke it up into two parts, which worked great. Mm-hmm. So we had the first event, which was a lunch, and we had brought in abolitionist speaker, Dr. Bettina Love, who is now at Columbia, who was previously in Georgia. And so, and we pair, then we also connect, brought, invited the College of Education to attend as well. So yeah, that was a great event in March. And then in October, we also had the last part of the event where we brought in another a speaker, an alum, a dance alum that does work related to wellness, DEIA. Mm-hmm. And also we kind of turned it into a open dialogue where we had several speakers from the units speak on their work. And so that was a day long event. Mm-hmm. And we also earlier in the morning, myself and the dean, Dean Hamilton, we prepared a script where we asked each other questions. And then while the audience was, you know, listening. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a way for them to be invited into our conversation. And so that's the format which we followed, where I was asking certain leaders from the units questions about their work and what they see, what they've observed, what's difficult, not just, this is what I did and this is so great, right, but more, what are the lives, what are the lessons, what some insight you can share so we can move forward.
I keep thinking too, as you're talking about all these wonderful overlaps and collaborations, that it's kind of, not to stretch the point too far, but like it's a little bit like chamber music, right? Like you're collaborating with someone else. And
yes.
So that this is right in your wheelhouse, you know, that kind of collaborative process. And speaking of collaboration, so you are a very active chamber musician in addition to being a solo concert pianist. Did you want to talk a little bit about some of your regular collaborators as a chamber musician?
Chamber music, I'm very particular on the work that I do when it comes to this. And just a bit of a background, specifically when I do collaborate, most of the time with a long-term partner, like my current long-term partner, with Duo Memdi, I perform from memory. Oh. And that started actually when I was a child in church. It started off, I would be given pages. Okay, here's the hymns, you play it. But then I got tired of turning pages. So I just started playing from memory. And, you know, as a child, children are brave. If you don't tell them, oh, that's not done, then it's fine. So no one told me, are you memorizing an entire cantata from memory? No one does that. No one told me that. So that's kind of the bit of the background. When people ask me what's the secret to that, it started when I was very young.
Wow.
Playing for choirs, and then just, it was more of a convenience thing. You didn't have to turn pages. But I found also it's nothing like it, just being able to connect with the music without the barrier of a score. Mm-hmm. And to be able to do that with another person, it's really the coolest. So that's the idea behind Duo Memdi, where that started. Wow. So we, specifically with Duo Memdi, we are not only playing from memory, but we are the idea of showcasing music by historically underrepresented composers, women, and that's been our work since 2010.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And you are an incredibly versatile musician. You have such a wide repertory. You've now made and released two volumes called Bach to Black. Would you talk about the inspiration for these recordings and the repertory on them, please?
Yes, the inspiration really came back, what goes back to when I was an undergrad in San Francisco. Around that time, I'm still discovering myself as a musician, what I want to be, what I see myself becoming. And around that time, I was reintroduced to J.S. Bach by a wonderful mentor who was our harpsichord teacher. I studied harpsichord and forte piano for a year while I was there. And so she reintroduced me to J.S. Bach. And at the same time, I became aware, even more aware, that yet people in the spaces didn't look like me. So I set also on a quest to find music by Black composers. And George Walker's music was the first composer music I came across. And particularly the piano concerto from 1975. And For years, I have had an obsession with this piece. I still do. And so those two things were happening at the same time. I wasn't thinking of the name of this project, but that's just kind of what has happened. And over the years, I've been playing a lot of J.S. Bach and music by Black composers. Mm-hmm. And so that's how that came about.
That's great. Will there be a Bach to Black Volume 3, I hope?
There will be. that will be released in 2024. So
great.
Yes, stay tuned.
Great. So you know, I have to ask this of musicians who play Bach, and obviously Bach is an inspiration for you of some level. So people for ask sure. often, what is it about Bach? So I'll ask it of you. What is it about Bach?
Bach, as the great Andras Schiff said, how he said something, how it keeps him honest. So that's what I will say. It keeps me honest, really. What I learned is that there's no barrier, you know, markings here, markings there. It's just score. So there's so much you can do in terms of imagination, how you, and more than many people think. And there's no hiding behind a pedal or, you know, you have lots of pedal, in other words, it's something beautiful and pure about the music that I just can't explain. And I connected with that. I didn't at first, but it was because of the way it was reintroduced to me by Lorette Goldberg, the harpsichord teacher who mm-hmm. was there in San Francisco, is what kept me engaged.
Wow. So who
and so yes, I someone had said to me when I was a child, you will record Bach suites. I probably would have thought not agreed with that, but yeah, I find myself playing suites. You know, kind of like with music of African descent. You know, dance is a huge part of this, and I also connect. That's why I connected with the suites, because of the dance element. I often found when I'm playing music by, say, J.S. Bach, the audience looks a certain way, usually. Mm-hmm. And also, if I'm playing music during February, Black History Month, at a certain venue, I also found the audience looks the same. So it's also kind of what I've seen, what audiences look like. Mm-hmm. We speak all the time about, oh, we need to have more diverse audiences. In real time, doesn't always happen. Although it's great, I have to say, we're seeing more of those conversations, which is great. And so I'm just happy to be a part of that. But mm-hmm. that's also why if we're having these very detailed conversations about J.S. Bach, and we are still picking apart every little thing about it in the score. Is it authentic? I mean, what about the ornaments? Is it the upper note, the lower note? Mm-hmm. Why can't we have those same engaging, very detailed debates, conversations about music by Black composers?
Yeah. Who are some of your, besides George Walker and that obsession with the concerto, who are some of the other composers that you've encountered that you just feel passionate about?
So there's another composer by the name of James Lee III. I recorded a CD of his piano music a few years ago. We were classmates at Michigan. And so we connected a few years later, and he wrote a piece, a sonata for me. And then we ended up, let's turn it into a whole CD. And so that's how that happened. So I find myself really connecting with his music. There's some dance elements in there as well. There's Brazilian, there's African elements, there's the Western elements. There's the virtuosity moving. I mean, really testing the pianist the harmonic language is also so unique. And I'm a huge fan of his music. He knows that.
Wow. I'm sure he's a huge fan of your playing. So what else are you passionate about right now? Do you have the time for hobbies or for other serious interests and things? I know COVID brought a lot of people back into the kitchen and whatnot, but are there other things that you're just really passionate about right now that are connected to music? Either way, what are you passionate about as a person right now?
Gotcha. What I'm passionate about, you know, I really am devoted to seeing my students succeed. That's one thing. My students know that I, you know, am committed to them doing well, and just even the smallest things that, you know, just to see their faces light up in the studio. Oh my God, those things you can't replicate. So that's what I'm passionate about, because someone took the time to teach me. And so, you know, those, I think about those positive experiences, and, you know, I just think it's so, and I just, it's a gift to be able to share some of my insight with my students. So that's what I'm passionate about. And not music related, completely unrelated. I also, what is related? I really am, think it's so important to self-care, taking care of oneself. Well-being is so important to for musicians. And I'm so happy to see that there are more, there's more dialogue about this. And so with that said, I'm remembering the career of Leon Bates, the pianist Leon Bates, and he was a bodybuilder, very active in bodybuilding. And so I remember he was the first Black pianist I ever saw years of performing live. And so I remember he also had an impact on, because there were not many pianists. It was just, it was Leon Bates and Awadajan Pratt. That's all I saw at the time. And so not a lot of representation. And, but when it comes to wellness, I love lifting weights, heavy weights. I love doing body weight exercises, pull-ups, those things. Because I think it's, there's something connected about, you know, being aware of how you use your body, particularly when you're sitting at the piano. So I very much enjoy that. I'm doing that for, I do that 4 or 5 days a week. Heavy lifting, stretching, all those things. So yes, I am very much in the gym.
Excellent. And it helps too. You know, you look beautiful in those gowns, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. It shows. It shows. It shows. I have been speaking with pianist Dr. Rochelle Sennett, performer, teacher, and music scholar who is on the faculty of the College of Fine and Applied Arts at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Thank you so very much for this conversation. I can't wait to hear volume 3.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.